The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. It is Talk is Jericho here, and it's the return to the rock and roll with another edition of the world-famous, highly acclaimed classic album Clash. This time it's Stryper's Soldier Under Command versus To Hell with the Devil. And joining me to debate the songs, the albums, share some cool Stryper stories and trivia, fellow Stryper fanatics, singer Howard Jones from Light the Torch, and of course Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show. We were on the Heaven's Metal podcast a few years ago. And coming back again, Fozzy guitar player Rich Ward. That's how Rich and I actually met, was being Stryper fans. I know that you're going to hear that we're more than just Stryper fans. You're going to hear how this band, Michael Sweet, Robert Sweet, changed our lives, literally changed our lives. But enough of my yakking. Let's just get to it. It's the Stryper classic album Clash on Talk is Jericho, Soldiers versus Devil now. All right, so it's the reunion that I've been waiting for, that the world didn't know that they needed, but damn it, you got it. It's about a year and a half ago, the Heaven's Metal podcast. Richard Christie from Charred Walls of the Damned, Howard Jones from Light the Torch, and myself, joined by Rich Ward, also from Fozzy. We had a great time with that last podcast talking about Christian metal.
It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And afterwards, we got to go see Stryper.
Yeah. That's right. And I just had Howard on my podcast a few months ago, and we said, what did Richard do during Holding On? Do you remember what you were doing?
Probably singing along and going insane.
There were some tears. You were crying.
Yeah. Oh, you were holding on to tissues, my friend.
I'll admit it.
He was a little bit loaded, too.
Strong men also cry.
And then me and Richard, I had to drive you home from Asbury Park to downtown
Long Island
New York
City.
It took us like an hour. Remember at one point I had to pull over to sleep.
I felt so bad. I was like,
I didn't realize how
that was insanity.
On the BQE, one of the busiest highways in the country.
I had to pull over and close my eyes.
Yeah.
When we were looking at dates, I had no idea that Asbury Park was so far away. I just saw New Jersey. I thought it was by like the Meadowlands or something.
And you were a trooper. You had go right to the airport.
I had to go right to the airport. I had to go to do a live podcast with Kevin Owens and then do SummerSlam where I had to put together the whole match. It was a 10-man match. I literally slept on the floor of the theater in Montreal before the podcast for an hour. That was my
That's a diehard Stryper fan.
I remember getting the text and... Okay, Richard, you caught a little bit of it in that text, but not.
But we're back. Classic album Clash with, like I said, with Rich, who's one of the best guys to have on a classic album Clash because he comes prepared with notes.
Beautiful.
And studying. Do you have your notes, Rich?
I do have my notes.
He's got his notes.
And they are extensive.
You're making us all look bad.
I went there.
Nice, nice.
Best homework ever.
Oh, you got notes too?
Oh, yeah. I went there, man.
Oh, that's great.
My notes are in my head.
Yeah. Dude, Richard doesn't need notes. He's a savant when it comes to Stryper.
This we know.
What date did Calling on You come on MTV?
I am going to say March 10th, 1987. Around there. I bet you he's totally right though.
Yeah. Where I know I have no stake in this. It's like when it comes to that, Richard, you win.
Oh, I used to call Dial MTV every day. So.
So the rules of the classic album Clash, and you guys have heard a few of them before, is we basically all of us agree that both albums are amazing. We're gonna do Soldiers Under Command versus To Hell with the Devil by Stryper. But it's a debate on which we like better. And of course, the track by track war debate. But let's talk about how we got into Striper. We discussed it briefly before, but I've never heard Rich's real story about how you got into Striper. Kind of talk about the band a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to keep this brief because I'm terrible about making long stories tremendously long. So I grew up in a secular household. God was never even spoken about. My family was working class until they split up, and then I was raised by my mom. My sister and I shared a room. Any conversation at the dinner table was about soccer practice or school. I don't know who the president is. I don't know anything about civics. I don't know anything about anything. Like, my life was just about activities so that Richard could become better at whether it was physical or mental, whatever. But there was no, so a friend of mine in high school, who I used to kind of hang out with. He was a drummer. I was a guitar player. So we all kind of click with these guys who we have some common music interest, and we used to jam together, had a little cover band. And he came home one day with this album, Soldiers Under God's Command. And he said, this record's going to change your life. I'm just telling you this. And I was like, I was so excited, but he says, it's going to change your life in another way. And because there was no setup, it hit me like a ton of bricks, because it was like being exposed to aliens for the first time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when no one's ever even told you, like, okay, here's this thing. There was this guy, all right? There was an Immaculate Conception, and God came, like, I didn't know any of the stories, anything, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I was like a misfit kid. Like, I didn't really have a big circle of friends. I was a nerd. I played Dungeons and Dragons. I was in Boy Scouts. I liked girls, but I didn't know what to do. No one told me about anything. And so finally there was this thing that I was listening to this guy's talk about something that started to mean that there was purpose to life, and that this was all made sense, and there was design. And to a young kid, it was so empowering to think that there was a rock band, because I was way into Priest and Maiden and Sabbath and the Scorpions. And here was a band who was singing about things that were, in my mind, more important than what the other bands were. And a lot of that was just because it was this new discovery for me. So a girl that I knew at high school, I was telling her about this band, and she was like, you should come with me we have like these Wednesday things at church. It was like a youth group thing. They did an altar call. I went up. I was like, I lost it. I became a Christian, and I give it all to Striper. And it changed my life. Literally, that became my favorite band. And you know when you find something new for the first time, and it's like it just like ripped off my old eyes, and then I started seeing things. But then there's no follow-up, right? Because I don't really still know anybody. It's not like I can go talk, Mom, guess what I learned? It's just supper. You know, like, and my mom's super smart. And she was one of those people that was just too smart for Jesus, or too smart for faith and spirituality. It's just that she was a pragmatist. I have to put food on this table. Like, you know, my mom worked until 8 or 9 at night. She was gone. And you know what I mean? Like, so in other words, then I'm just trying to figure out what to do with all this newfound information. So that's my like entry into Striper, was that experience of just hearing something that, you know, must have been like, you know, people hearing Mozart for the first time, of just not understanding what this is.
And that was the same for me, because I grew up in the church. But and then you would hear these rumors of, oh, this is a Christian rock band. It'd be like Petra or Rez Band, where they look like my dad. Like, they didn't look cool. And the music was kind of adult contemporary, you know, middle of the road shit. Like, if there was
dudes in Petra are just bummed that you're saying that.
Sorry, Petra. Sorry, Louie from Petra.
Louie Weaver. What's up?
He's a bus driver for the WWE now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You
saw him.
I was walking around and I was like, that guy looks like the drummer of Petra, said nobody ever. So I went to another bus driver. I said, is that guy Louie Weaver from Petra? He goes, you know him? Like, he goes, that's all he talks about. He's from Petra. So I went and introduced myself, and Louie became my best friend. He brought me the discography of Petra and like the video and all this other stuff.
Did he have it on hand?
He brought it the next week. And he always had a bad wig in the 80s, and it's still the same one. So hell of a guy, great guy. But they all look like that, and there's nothing powerful about it. And I was always interested in the concept of Christian rock and roll, because I was into heavy metal at that point. But I thought, like, okay, you know, the Slayer and Venom were kind of going, and it's like, you know, the evil side. Well, why couldn't there be a good side? But with the guys looking like this, there's no way he's got a chance. Then I'm watching this show called W5 in Canada, which was like 60 minutes, and they had a piece on Stryper. And I remember seeing Robert Sweet going, that's the coolest guy I've ever seen in my life. Like, look at it, look at it, look at it. And then he was talking about, Stryper's like a bumblebee. Aerodynamically, a bumblebee is not supposed to fly, but it does. And Stryper's like a bumblebee. Christians say, and people say that you can't promote Christianity with music, but just like the bumblebee, we're promoting, like, what are you fucking talking about?
That's the best Robert Sweet impression I've ever heard, by the way. That.
Wait, what on earth is he talking about? Look, I like this band.
And the other thing he said is, yellow, why do we wear yellow and black? They're caution colors. We're trying to warn you not to go to hell. And I was like, wow. And then it showed them playing for the outro where the credits were rolling. And they're just jamming out. And I could never figure out what song it was. And it took me a couple years when I bought the EP. I realized it was the middle part of Reason for the Season.
Oh, wow.
Bong, tong, bong, tong. And Robert's just jamming. He's doing his stick tricks and looking at the camera, sticking his stick in his mouth. And that's like, that band is cool. Went to the record store, bought Soldiers Under Command.
Meanwhile, when have they ever played that live?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Just so random.
On the Soldiers tour, I have the set list still.
No. Reason for the Season?
Even though it wasn't Christmas, or maybe just around Christmas, or they probably didn't have enough material maybe at
the
time. They
just threw it in on an Arbor Day.
But it was rocking.
Reason for the already love tree. Howard. I already love him. Reason Arbor Day reference really 10 minutes in.
Reason for the Tree Season?
Yeah, Reason for the Tree Season.
Richard, what's your introduction to Stryper?
Well, my parents, I was pretty lucky. I grew up in Kansas, and in about 1983, we got one of those big, huge satellite dishes that takes up your whole yard. Got struck by lightning all the time because we had these big storms coming by. But in early 1987, I saw the video for Calling on You during the day, back when they used to play metal videos randomly during the day on MTV, and I saw Calling on You. I was like, that is a freaking awesome song. And I, back then, you didn't have a, you couldn't DVR it and save
right.
it.
So you had to wait for it to come on.
Wait for it to come on again. And I just never saw it again for a couple months, but it stuck in my head. I was singing this song just for months and not really knowing or remembering the name of the band. And then I remember I was watching Dial MTV in about April of 1987 after school. And here comes Free, the video for Free by Stryper. And I'm like, that's the band. That's the one who had that song that stuck in my head for the last 2 months. And I just started calling Dial MTV. I'd ask my parents, I think it was 50 cents a call or something.
You were calling
and
on them?
Calling every day. Yeah, I was calling on them, literally. Yeah.
Wow.
But and it changed my life. I bought the album. I bought the, well, back then it was cassette. And it really, if I can point to two songs that have changed my life, it's Calling on You and Free by Stryper.
Wow.
And they instantly became my favorite band.
How about you, Howard?
Wow. Like you, grew up in the church. You know, mom dragged me along to everything, including The Omen 2 when I was, you know, like a kid.
That movie still freaks me out.
Yeah.
She took you to see it in the theater?
Yeah, I was a child, man.
Wow.
Damaged me.
I remember I convinced my grandfather to take me to Damien Omen 3, The Final Conflict, and we watched, like, everyone just dies in these brutal ways.
Yeah.
My grandpa was probably like 70 at the time, and I remember at the end of the movie, he said, well, not too many people lived in that piece of shit.
To this day, I'm scared of elevators because I think
that was in two, the scene
where the cable cuts the guy in half.
And then someone gets pinched between
two rail cars. Yeah, because they found out that Damien was the Antichrist, so then Satan kills him. So
that's like when I'm remembering like things that I first tasted. And I remember that movie. So, yeah. Thanks, Mom. So, yeah, just in the church, all that. And I remember going to church with some friends. And in the car, we're cruising around. And this guy's Monte Carlo. And pops up, I hear Stryper. But then going to hang out at this place called Heart Song. It was this club, you know,
Christian youth club.
Christian music club sort of thing. They had all the CDs and tapes. And they had games, you know, video games, pool tables, all that, and they play videos. And so I finally got to see Stryper on some talk show, and they played Make Me Want to Sing. Hit that high note, I was sold. That was it. I heard that high note, and I was in full tilt from there. And shout out to my friend Jeremy, because was already texting today. He was like, yeah, this podcast is definitely going on. You know, it's soldiers against to hell with the devil. And he's already given me his thoughts.
Was that the talk show? It was like a McLean Stevenson.
Yes.
He had a show like...
Yep.
Welcome America or whatever. And it was a national show, and Stryper was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the lyrics for the song at the bottom with the Gerald McBoing-Boing bouncing ball. Jesus makes me want to sing. I remember that.
I wonder
if that's on YouTube. It must be on YouTube.
It's got to be on there.
It's got to be, right?
But it's stuck in my mind. I saw it so many times because the guy who owned the place, Heartsong, he had the tape.
Oh, he played it over and over again.
So, yeah, every Friday whenever we'd go there, the tape would go in, so we'd be playing that and Baron Cross and just, you know, Deliverance. So I got to hear all this stuff. Yeah, that, you know, first heard Tourniquet there. So, right. But yeah, that was my real introduction to Stryper. Yeah.
And the thing is, too, that my point was with the Petra thing is that Stryper actually looked cool. They looked like Van Halen. Mm-hmm. They sounded like Van Halen or Priest, a little bit sappy at times, and we'll talk about that. But all of us finally had a band that you could gravitate towards if you had Christian faith, that you could say, I know these bands look like our fathers, but look at this band.
Yeah.
We want to look like this, you know?
Yeah, because like you were saying, I used to go to Vacation Bible School in the summers, and there was a girl that would give my sister and I a ride to Vacation Bible School, and she was into Petra and that kind of stuff. And sorry, Petra, we're kind of piling on you, but yeah. I was not into it at all. But when I heard Stryper, it was like it took it to a whole nother level.
I mean, I remember the Power Hour was the heavy Headbangers Ball.
Oh, Much Music Power Hour. Yeah.
And they played the Daniel Band.
Wow.
Walk on Water. There's one for you guys to look up on YouTube. And the singer looked like Derek Smalls. With like this mustache and the balding head. I'm like, that's
the
best.
And the cucumber in his pants.
Yeah, wrapped in tinfoil. It's like, that's all we got? And then Stryper comes out and suddenly we have a band that we can hang our hats on.
Yeah, then there's just the breakthrough then, you know, like Baron Cross came.
Oh, the huge
Holy Soldier came.
There was Guardian, just, White Cross. Yeah. We discussed them all in the last show.
Oh, yeah, just a plethora then.
And I remember Power Hour would play the Soldiers Under Command video, which MTV, I don't
never
know.
Never did. It was kind of a hodgepodge, like home video thing, but.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So let's talk about the two records in question. Soldiers Under Command, that came out May 15th, 1985 on Enigma Records, produced by Michael Wagner, who is a big-time producer. Mm-hmm. He did Skid Row. He did Metallica.
Dokken, I think,
mixed Master Puppets. Dokken, that's a big-time name. And then To Hell with the Devil came out October 24th, 1986, which is a year and a half later.
Mm-hmm.
And that was produced by Stephen Galfast and Stryper. Don't know much about this Stephen Galfast. Never heard of him before or since. Also on Enigma Records. Let's just start off first and foremost with the covers. And let's go with the original Hell with the Devil cover.
Yes.
And I can start. My first was... Okay, hold on. Stephen Galfast produced... Managed, promoted, mixed, and recorded Cher, Allman Brothers, Meatloaf, Saxon, Sabotage, ELO Part 2, the Pez Band. I wonder if it's supposed to be Rez Band. So he has some steam.
He has some nobodies on his list.
A little trivia, you know, To Hell with the Devil was recorded digitally. One of the first albums to be recorded. If I'm remembering right, a digital 8-track.
Interesting.
Yeah, I remember reading that on the little liner notes on the cassette fold-out.
Yeah, yes. one of the very first.
So if we're talking about the cover of Soldiers, that was when I saw that, like the big like tank with the yellow
A-Team
and black.
Van. Mm-hmm. It was A-Team. From the A-Team.
Was it really?
It really was, yeah.
And they're on it holding like, you know, the guns, and Robert's got like the big giant shades on, and you know, just they're holding a Bible is the other thing. You know, Oz has, you know,
smoke machine
in there as well. Yeah. And
how much time have all of us looked at that cover?
I know. Because it's so cool. And then on the back, Robert Sweet, he's holding a samurai sword.
Oh, that I love those that picture.
And if Rich remembers, in the first Fozzy photo session, what am I holding in my picture? A samurai sword.
And there was a cool Soldiers Under Command shirt with samurai swords on it, too.
I had it. Yeah. I had that shirt. And then, of course, going up against the To Hell with the Devil, which the cover that we got was a black cover with just the Striper logo, a cool Striper logo with a triangle on it. But then you hear rumors about this original cover, which is four angels pulling a guy out of hell. And the guy is screaming.
I think they're actually shoving him down to hell, right?
Yeah. No, I think. Oh, is that the devil? No, it seems like.
It's the devil.
No,
yeah, they're sending the devil to hell.
No, it's a rocker. He's wearing jeans. They're trying to pull him out of hell.
Oh, I always thought it was the devil has fashion sense.
Do the devil
wear the Ramones?
Does the devil wear jeans?
He does.
He could.
Of course he does.
He's got a pair of Unluckies.
What's the
on?
General consensus? Are they pulling him down to hell or trying to get him out?
I think he's getting pulled down because those angels really do resemble guys in a band.
That's true.
Yeah. I think it's the four members of Striper sending the devil to hell.
Yeah.
I never realized that. I always thought they're trying to pull him up, but he's got chains around him, and it looks like they're trying to pull him down. And he's holding a guitar as well.
I think they would have changed the name of the album to Get Out of There.
You know what, Howard? When you left The Devil You Know, you should have changed it to Hell with the Devil You Know. So what cover are we going with, Richard? Which one do you like better, Soldiers or the original To Hell?
I'm going to say the original To Hell. I just love the artwork. I love 80s, you know, type metal artwork. And I love the, you know, I'm sure you guys all know because you're big Striper fans, but the reason they had to change the cover is because there was a pentagram on the original To Hell with the Devil cover, and a lot of Christian stores didn't want an album with a pentagram on it.
Yeah, Christian record stores wouldn't carry it.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But I love the simple second cover with the logo To Hell with the Devil in black, because that was what I got on cassette. And I was telling Howard earlier, I remember in the 80s, the To Hell with the Devil cassette smelled so good. Like, there was like a chemical factory smell that some cassettes had, and it smelled so freaking good. But I'm going to choose the To Hell with the Devil
and
cover.
The cool thing with the other cover that you mentioned, when I caught a Bible at the Striper show, they had a sticker of that.
Oh, you caught
on the Bible.
One.
Yeah.
Too far away.
Yeah, I caught one. And there's also a Bible quote, Revelations 22:10.
Yeah.
Underneath To Hell with the Devil. Of course, matching the Isaiah 53:5, which is By His Stripes We Are Healed. And in all my bands in high school, I always picked a Bible quote and stuck it underneath. And my friends were like, get rid of that quote. I'm like, no, dude, it's cool. Scimitar, you know, Galatians 4:15 that says by his sword or whatever it was. I'm like, dude, that's terrible. Get rid of it. Like, it's not easy to be in a Christian, be a Christian in a heavy metal band when the other guys hate Striper. So, Rich, who's your favorite?
I'm going to go with Richard on this and go with the To Hell with the Devil. And I'm with you because I discovered the original one first. I didn't know there was an alternative cover that, you know, that had been replaced. So, for sentimental reasons, I love that one as well. I'll take both, just because I'm not into the all terrain vehicle thing. Like, to me, the other one actually stands the test of time. Or all terrain vehicle, as much as it may have been cool at the time, for me, it didn't age well.
Yeah, it makes a lot of lists of album covers from the 80s that people are kind of, you know.
Oh, really?
I've just seen on the internet. I mean, I love it. I love the Soldiers cover, but. You know, people that aren't metalheads,
heavy metal stock. Howard?
Okay. My question is on Soldiers with the van, since it's the A-team's van, who in Striper was B.A. Baracus?
That's definitely Oz. Definitely Oz.
He looks a little bit like he's got a little bit of African-American in him.
Race card pull.
Yeah, he pities the fool.
More importantly, who was the one that got them the A-team van?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 1985.
Who made that happen?
The A-team is in demand in 1985. You
seriously.
Just walk over to the set and drive it away. Maybe it was Darren Hinton.
I think that's a good point. It might have been. But I know I've heard that that's the a van from the A-team show.
I trust your research. I do. And I discovered Striper with Soldiers, but gotta go with To Hell with the Devil for the cover, and I do have the cassette with the angels pulling the demon
I
into
have that
hell.
Now as well.
I have the original. I got it when it came out,
because the
got
vinyl
lucky.
Is not super hard to find of the original cover, but I don't think I've ever seen the cassette with the original cover.
I got lucky.
Some of them did get released.
Yeah.
Because that was always the thing. Like, if you could find that, you know, the actual original cover, you were, you know, super special. I'm going to be the To Hell with the Devil's advocate here. And I'm going to say that I'm going to go with the original, Soldiers Under Command, just because it was the first Striper album that I saw going to a record store back in the day when you didn't know what to look for. And I remember just saying, like, do you have any Striper? And of course, with a confused glance, the guy was like, who? And then they kind of bring it from the back. And it is this cover with Robert Sweet. To me, Robert Sweet was always my guy. Now, obviously, Michael is a very good friend of mine. And we all know he's the leader of the band and kind of the mind and brain behind it. But to me, it was always Robert at the time that looked super cool. And the back with the samurai swords, I thought was pretty damn cool as well. So I'm just looking up the quote here just so we can read it. Revelation 20:10, and it is, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
So that might answer the question about, you know, are they throwing the devil into hell on the cover?
They're not
pulling a well-denimed fellow out of the brimstone.
Well, and once again,
hey, like, guy, don't fall in there. We'll grab you.
That's why I love these things, is that we're literally 32 years later, and for the first time ever, I'm realizing what the cover really is.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's go to the battle, the tale of the tape, the song-by-song debate.
Here we go.
Start off with Soldiers Under Command, written by Michael Sweet and Robert Sweet, versus To Hell with the Devil, also written by Michael Sweet and Robert Sweet. And I think that basically means that Robert came up with the song title.
I think he did come up with To Hell with the Devil.
Speaking of which, didn't he come up with the title of the new
The new one?
Goddamn Evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was him.
Mucho props.
Yeah. Yeah,
there we go.
When that album title was released, I sent it to all three of you guys, and it was just like, this is great.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Because if you remember back at the time in 86, To Hell with the Devil was a controversial album. Like, it was like really in your face.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was like, oh my gosh. Like,
and people could have seen it two ways, just like the new album cover. It's like, or title. You know, back then, people, you know, if you just saw it and didn't know they were a Christian band, you could have thought, are they saying they're, you know, that
we're going
everybody
to hell
should
with the
go
devil?
There
yeah.
Or, yeah. Or to hell with the devil?
Good
you know,
point.
Get down there.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. And same with the new one. I know there's controversy with the new title, but it's great.
Yeah. I like it. It shows they're still in the game for the right reasons to piss off people in a lot of ways, because Striper was very polarizing. And Rich and I will say this. If there isn't people that don't like your band, you're doing something wrong. Every great band has people that go, Metallica sucks, man. They were absolutely shit ever since Cliff Burton died or whatever, you know?
But yeah, and I have friends like that we've talked about, you know, Striper were real rebels in the 80s. You know, there were a lot of bands that were evil, and they were one of the rare bands that came out as, you know, saying they were Christian, and that was a kind of a rebellious thing.
Well, yeah,
the 80s.
We saw Eric Lufglass this morning at Sirius, and I've said before that Michael Sweet and Oz Fox are one of the best tandem guitar players for solos.
Yep.
Like, we're talking like, and they're like, oh, well, Priest doesn't do dual solos. They do harmony solos. Maiden does harmony solos. Striper does these really fast, kind of almost Halloween types. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that as a guitar player, Rich?
Yeah, I wrote a bunch about that. And also, they when you listen to their playing, they're not derivative of like what else was going on. It wasn't like they were like, because Christian bands were fairly guilty of like sounding like a version of something else that was going on.
We went down that rabbit hole.
So they weren't like, they didn't sound like George Lynch or Malmsteen or Eddie Van Halen. They had like unique style, like the way that their phrasing and their note choices and stuff. They were pretty unique players. So when you heard their solos, you're like, that's them. And that's like the sign of a great guitar player. Anytime someone tells me, oh, this guy's great, it's like, well, it's like Bon Scott's voice. You can tell me all day long that technically he's not great. As soon as he starts singing, you know it's him. And to me, that's like one of the greatest signs of a player is they have a thumbprint. And both Michael and Oz have a real thumbprint to their playing. Now, Oz does some of that kind of Brad Gillis tremolo stuff, which is a little derivative of Brad, but he made it his own. And when he does it, it sounds like him. So I don't, you know, and again, and to piggyback on what Richard was saying is that it doesn't take any guts to stand in line behind the huge long line of sheep that were all doing what everybody else was doing. So you can say all you want to, oh, they look, you know, like a bunch of girls, or their music wasn't as aggressive as whatever. It's like, listen, they had more guts than the rest of you. All the rest of you were standing in the long line, all wanting to be the same thing and drinking from the same trough. At least these guys had the guts to say, ah, we'll try something else. Yeah. This is what we believe. This is what we're going to do. And we're not really going to bend to make sure that we somehow fit into whatever is popular at the time. And that's attractive. It doesn't matter if you're a rock fan or if you're a chick or a dude looking for a mate. People like people who are self fully realized person that who is not afraid to just say, you know.
Yeah. And you may not agree with what they had to say. You cannot deny those dudes know how to play their instruments.
That's yeah.
And anybody that ever had any shit to talk about Stryper, I would always just put on the rock that makes me roll. Yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah. Listen to this riff. Listen to this soul. Yeah. Listen to him singing. Michael Sweet. Once again, you hear Michael Sweet singing to this day. Nobody sounds like him. I mean, Little Boston, Little Sticks, but he has that power.
Yeah. And just all lungs. Little Boston, Little Sticks, all lungs. Yeah. That man.
That's right.
That man's voice is otherworldly.
If I have friends that ever try to lump Stryper in with like Poison or something, I'll play him More Than a Man. I'm like, oh, listen to More Than a Man. Especially, I'm talking to you, Brian Slagle.
Oh, yeah. Slagle and Scotty, and too. All those snobs like Stryper sucks. It's like, you guys have no idea. No,
More Than a Man. They have so many great, super heavy songs.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
That sets them apart from, you know, a lot of bands that were, you know, like, you know, and I know Poison has its fans and I like some of their songs too, but you can't lump Stryper in with like Poison and bands like that.
You're exactly right. And they were a perfect balance, and it's such a hard thing to do, where you can marry aggressive riffing, really great musicianship, but really great melodic vocals. I mean, you know, it was back then, it was an either or. You were either Journey and Kansas and Styx, where you were like, had these great melodic stuff, but you weren't that heavy. And then on the other side, you had the heavy bands who didn't really have those Brad Delp or Steve Perry kind of vocal passages. And Michael was able to really walk that. And it's a really delicate balance that he was able to really do well.
And he says that his biggest influences were Van Halen and Judas Priest. And that comes in their music. Like you mentioned, like White Cross sounded like Rat. Baron Cross had some Iron Maiden. And The Guardian was like Dokken or whatever it was. But Stryper did sound like
Stryper,
a real
Stryper
cross of Priest and Van Halen, but a completely original thing as well. So let's go to the battle. Like I said, it's To Hell with the Devil versus Soldiers Under Command.
Well, for me, solely going on like Rich was talking about, the guitar solo and To Hell with the Devil is one of my all-time favorite guitar solos, and the way that it ends into the final chorus to me is just like, even nowadays when I'm running and listening to that song, I have to jump up in the air to land my feet on when it goes right into the last chorus. It is so heavy, that solo into the final chorus. And I love Soldiers Under Command. It's got a killer solo as well. But also Robert's drums on To Hell with the Devil, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Just it's so powerful.
He's and a big influence on you as a drummer.
Massive.
As well. Yeah.
The single biggest influence on my drumming is Robert Sweet. Mm-hmm. And so I have to go with the song To Hell with the Devil.
Howard?
Gotta agree. Even though Soldiers, that whole album, that was my first introduction, I gotta go with To Hell with the Devil. The solo, just the trade off, and that note at the end. Just come on. It's like, even if you believe in the devil, you're just kind of like, He had it coming. that note's awesome.
the things, and that's the number of the beast note. That's the Mike Reno "Turn Me Loose" note. Everybody is waiting. You can cheat on some of the other songs, but when that part comes, you have to nail it. Yeah. And from what I recall, he nailed it. At the show we
still
went
nails
to.
It.
That's
yeah.
one. Of
oh
the,
yeah.
That's one of the points that he picks. Like I might be having a shit night, but I'm still gonna nail that note. I have to, because everybody's waiting to hear it.
Absolutely.
And there's another part of it. There's a better way. Super high in that part too.
Yeah.
Rich,
I'm going Soldiers, and I'm going Soldiers because it was my introduction to them, and also I liked it because it was a mission statement song. We are the soldiers under God's command. We hold his two-edged sword within our hand. And I just thought, like, it, out the gate, it was like, first of all, like, they love Jesus, and apparently God has a sword.
just like Roberts.
Yeah, yeah, like, so I'm like, oh, I had no idea. He has a sword, which already makes him so much more metal than Bon Jovi or Rat. And like, again, and I was going to say this, like, it was interesting. Like, I know these records. Like, I grew up with them. I listened to them from time to time. But it's been a long time since I have, like, a critical ear. I just sat down and listened as a fan, but also as a put on your musician producer's hat. Soldiers is a much looser album than To Hell with the Devil.
Yeah.
The guitar playing is not as tight. The doubling on the guitar playing is looser. Like, if you listen to the da-da-da-da-ba-da-ba-da-da-da-da on the intro of Soldiers, some of those stabs are not super tight.
Yeah.
I actually kind of dig that, because in the world that we live in now, where everything, you know, perfect, everything is recorded on the grid, and everything is, for those who don't, the grid is basically is a virtual click track, where a lot of times when you're recording records now, you're not just listening to it, you're looking at the notes, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of nice to hear a rock album, a heavy rock album played by people that was kind of flawed. Like, when I listen to Doobie Brothers records, I mean, there, and even Great Toto and Steely Dan's, there's flaws on those albums, but it's humans playing music. And so I was really enjoying that. Whereas I felt like To Hell with the Devil was a real step up in production.
Yes.
The band was tighter. It sounded better. It was more bass guitar in the mix. There was more low end. All of a sudden, the album started to sound where Soldiers felt like a kind of a, I know it wasn't their debut album, but like it felt like, yeah, it felt like a debut album where it was a little looser. So for me, I was into it. And the other thing was, is that my first thought of listening to Michael's voice on that was like, he kind of sounds like Dennis DeYoung, except for Dennis DeYoung's younger brother that has a Camaro that could still kick your ass. You know what I mean? Like, and I like that because I was a big Styx fan too. So because I love that era of music, sometimes it just takes, when you're a 12 or 13 year old kid, it just says, this reminds me of this, but way cooler. Mm. And so, yeah, for me, I go Soldiers. I hate to go because I do love To Hell with the Devil. Such a great song. But I love it a lot, like I said, for the mission statement. Mm. Right out of the gate, it's a great declarative statement of who we are as a band, and we have arrived. Love that.
Our music's awesome, and we're going to get you with some outdated weaponry. Like,
check out our band.
What's with swords? It's great.
And in the Soldiers video, you see them in the studio, and they're all are surrounding a mic singing the harmonies. So you're right, Rich, about them. They did. It appears, you know, from the video that they did all the harmonies live together rather than each, you know, separate guy doing it. Like, I think a lot of people would do now.
A lot more like that back then, because you wouldn't really be separating the tracks on harmonies.
And it depended on your producer too, right? I mean,
Wagner, maybe that's how he does it, you know?
And it could have been just the guys, you know, when we first make our first records, we've all made these, you know, we don't really know. We kind of come into this thing, we have this kind of fantasy of what it's going to be like. And then the reality of the engineer and the producer, and he's assessing, is this band able to play together? Do we need to cut basic tracks and then go back and redo overdubs? Or can this band play together? And maybe Striper, being a band that kind of came up together, maybe that Wagner just saw them as a band. Let's try to cut this thing live. Let's give some energy, you know, because their favorite band was Van Halen. We know Van Halen was cutting records live like that. I mean, we know there were overdubs. I'm not saying there wasn't, but you can feel there was a live element.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Soldiers as well, basically because of the riff. I love, I mean, I love Hell the Devil, but that's more of a down, whereas that's a hard riff to play.
Yeah.
And great high part in that song too at the very end.
Oh yeah, that's not,
you know,
high spot, yeah, last note on that one too.
Yeah, that's not, it's not right. Lost on me. That's not lost.
And a great solo too, one of those double solos that we talk about. Although there's a great double solo in To Hell as well. But I'll take Soldiers specifically because of that opening riff. And the fact there's a gong.
Oh yeah.
That's a loss. We should put a gong on our next Fozzy record, Rich. Stuff.
I actually have it in my notes. Killer last scream and a gong.
You can tell we're in a band together.
That, just to put the exclamation point on the end. Done.
Gong.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Calling On You versus Makes Me Want to Sing. Wow, that's a tough one as well. I'm going to stick with Makes Me Want to Sing because I always love that chorus of Jesus just in your face, Makes Me Want to Sing. And that riff is the exact same riff as Running Wild by Judas Priest and The Wicker Man by Iron Maiden. Yeah, like I said, still remember that McLean Stevenson bouncing ball thing every time I see it. Not so cool when they did it live in Japan when Michael had no guitar and his ball bag is very prominent in the black spandex that he's wearing. but
Michael's laughing right now.
I know, right? We've talked about it before. He says that his kids are very embarrassed by it. My thing was, I didn't understand sometimes why he put the guitar down. I always liked him with the guitar, you know. It seemed kind of weird that some songs he just randomly didn't have a guitar, which of course you wouldn't know that on the record, but live I think even like maybe even on was it on the way that he did that on the Hell with the Devil tour that we saw. I think there was a song that didn't have a guitar
because that's a hard song to sing, so
it is, but I mean he sings a lot of stuff. He's obviously a great you know at singing both, but yeah, I'm taking Makes Me Want to Sing. What do you think, Rich?
Okay, so Makes Me Want to Sing, we're gonna rock and have a good time, all right. Entry line.
Classic
I'm like,
line.
All right, I'm interested.
You got my attention. Keep talking.
Keep going. I love the song. My teenage self loved the song.
Which one? Makes You Want to Sing?
Yes. But I have to say that I'm going to pick Calling On You. And the reason I'm going to is because this was the song that made Stryper like more of a household name. Like they became MTV darlings and it raised the profile. It was a hit for them. So as a Stryper fan, I go with the song because you always want to see one of your favorite bands do well. And this was the slingshot into them moving from clubs where I had seen them the year before into big theaters and small arenas. So I'm going to go with that. And it's a great song. And, you know, again, you can always pick on the whatever you want to about both songs have, because it came up in an era where you can't judge things by today's standards, mm-hmm. right? You have to put yourself in the mindset of that era was just different. And so even though some of the lyric, like I said, we're going to rock and have a good time. If any band said that today, you'd be like, nope, next song, you click it over. But back then it was about rocking and having a good time. And so, yeah, Calling On You all the way.
Richard.
All right, so I promise I'm not going to pick every song from To Hell with the Devil, but I have to go with Calling On You solely because that is the song that introduced me to Stryper.
You told us about,
I was 13 years old. I saw it on MTV. The final chorus, Calling On You. It's like, is there a catchier part to a song ever? And the drums.
Oh man.
Yeah, I took a year or two trying to figure out, is Robert playing double bass there or with one kick drum on the And it really helped me become a better drummer because I only had a single bass drum. So playing Calling on You and that little drum fill and the fills all through that song, it helped me as a drummer. So I got to pick. And I Love Makes Me Want to Sing. I mean, that's an amazing song, but I got to pick Calling on You.
Yeah, Makes Me Want to Sing. Introduction, the video, it's great. But I mean, I can talk about both, but just the music drops. You hear that last Calling on You. Money,
yeah, with the Calling big on Studio You Verb on it. Oh, so sweet.
And the video was so cool with the huge striper logo,
yep. Big soundstage,
huge soundstage,
big gerbs.
Money,
yeah, with the new triangle logo that we said that's on the cover of the album. Yep. You can see that on the ground.
Yeah,
great
money.
Stuff.
Was the stage slanted slightly?
I think it was slanted so that you could see the logo kind of. It's like the logo kind of went down like a semicircle sort of thing, I think.
But I think they didn't have Photoshop back then, but the Isaiah 53:5
that was like
I think was put in later. Or
I
something.
Agree. It's like someone went like, "Hey, we forgot something on the logo." Yeah. I was like, "Oh shit, we'll just put it in post. We'll do it in animation."
Yeah.
It looks like the flames from the tracks of the DeLorean. It's like it's like the same animation from 85.
Exactly. That's right. Good call on that. This one, a little bit easier for me. Together Forever versus Free. What do you think, Howard?
Gotta go with Free. Just, it starts with a nice solo. And then just the verse has got chunk, man. It's just, yeah, Free. Free all day.
I'm going to take Free as well. That opening guitar solo part is great. Amazing drum fill at the beginning. I mean, I'm very much a novice on drums. I'm not doing it right, but every time I sit down at a drum set, I always go and like I said, it's not right, but to me, it's perfect. You know, great chorus. And then once again, another great video, which I believe we didn't get MTV in Canada, but they had two songs on Call MTV, I think, at the same time, from what I remember.
On Dial MTV. Free.
And that video was cool in the theater, alive. Then there's some hot chicks in the crowd. So there's like, that's always good for the metal guys at the time. And Together Forever, it's a pretty good album track. But Stryper sometimes wrote lyrics, like you mentioned, we're going to rock and have a good time. But even like, come on, all you girls and all you guys. Like, that was, to me, it was like, you're kind of straying
stomp
on the
your hands and clap your feet.
It's getting to the part of like, I enjoy a good chunk of cheese, but that's falling a little bit too much against my, you know, maiden, you know,
well,
Metallica
and it had the doo-wop-wop too, I love. I thought, wow, that's pretty ballsy to put a doo-wop-wop in a metal song. I actually loved it.
And that also has a little acapella beginning too. Like, together forever.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a good song on the record, but it doesn't hold up to the hit single of Free.
True.
What do you think, Rich?
For me, I mean, Free changed my life. When I saw that video, I'm going to cry
just
right now.
Just life changed a lot of times.
Oh, it did. Yeah, but really, for music, for me, seeing the video for Free changed my freaking life. Just the fact that the crowd looked so cool. The theater they were in looked so cool. Mm-hmm. The intro with Robert playing his drum set with the chains and
that
the cymbals.
Was awesome. Best
drum set ever. And the solo, Michael playing the solo, it's just the greatest solo. So when I saw that video, I was hooked. I bought the cassette right away. And so I have to pick Free. I mean, really, that's my favorite song of all time.
Really? Of all time?
I think so. I think of all time. If I had to pick one, it's Free.
Remember, that's bold.
Do you remember where that video was shot?
Washington. So I think Seattle, Washington, if I remember correctly.
The Corazon Theater on 1522 8th Street.
You it's asked in that the end, for the end. Sole reason of he knew it.
It's in the beginning video they show that theater.
With JoJo the Fish Boy?
JoJo Anthony.
JoJo.
So there's, Rich, did you ever see the in the beginning video that Stryper put on?
Of course.
So remember when Oz goes fishing?
Yeah, of course.
And I always remember, like I said, extra bonus track, fishing. And it was just Oz and the acoustic, and I was so let down. But so he goes fishing with his friend. And what's his friend's name?
JoJo Anthony.
We go to the Hell with the Devil tour after we go backstage. And did you ask him about JoJo? Did you ask Oz?
I did. This was their 30th anniversary to Hell with the Devil tour. And I was... I think what I said to Oz Fox, I was like, do you still hang out with JoJo Anthony? And I don't think anybody had asked Oz that in 30 years. And I think he just kind of didn't know what JoJo's been up to. So if you're listening, JoJo, we're thinking about you.
Shout out to JoJo Anthony.
Shout out.
And the fish. They never caught any fish that
day.
No,
they got it at the grocery store, though.
Rich, what do you think?
Free All the Way, great song. And I love it modulates after the guitar solo. Mm-hmm. There's the modulation.
Oh, yeah.
And then the big fat harmonies at the end of that song. Oh, all yeah. freaking sweet verbed out. It was great. And I'm with you on Together Forever. Actually, I love the doo-wop. I think that's one of the better parts of the song. My problem with the song is it's a little bit Striper occasionally would wander into kind of blues rock land where they would do that, but they never had the right approach musically or like tonally. So all of a sudden we had these really cool metal guitar sounds and metal players like kind of playing white guy blue versions of blues riffs, and it never worked for me like with them. Like, and a lot of bands would do that. Rat would try to do it, and it's like you know what I mean? So for me, Free is a perfect song.
Great call on the harmonies at the end of that of Free as well.
Yeah.
Oh, like
that
so
gives
good.
Me chills.
It's like they pulled a Queen and packed it on from like 4 tracks of harmony to like 12 tracks of harmony. Just like right in your face, you know?
Yeah.
This is a good one. Then we get to ballad territory of Honestly versus First Love. Who wants to tackle that one first? Richard, what do you think?
I have to go Honestly. I mean, First Love is a heavy ballad. It's a really cool song, and that's one that Michael, even in interviews, still talks about how great of a song that is. And I know it's a fan favorite, but Honestly, for me, it's one of those songs too that when it came out on MTV, they had 2 versions for MTV. They had a version with all the family foot, the one that's on in the beginning with, you know, they're showing all their families. And from what I remember, MTV said it was too sentimental. Like
too schmaltzy?
Yeah. And so there was a different video on MTV at the time.
Were
it was all live.
The airport or something?
Yeah.
Was that the first version?
That was the first
Where
version.
Robert's suitcase comes.
Yeah, it comes open. Yeah. And they show their passports and all that. But I remember MTV had a version that was only live footage from London. But that was another one. I called every day on Dial MTV to request Honestly. I remember that was a big one in 87, in fall of 87. On radio stations on Friday nights, you could call and send a, you know, do a dedication to your girlfriend or your wife on the radio. And I would listen. I was only 13 at the time, so I didn't have a girlfriend or a wife, and I wouldn't for a very long time. But I would listen. I would listen just to wait to hear guys call in to dedicate Honestly to their girlfriends.
What was your area code when you were a kid?
Was it 10036, I think. Area code or zip code?
No, area code.
316.
So they're like the call MTV, Dial MTV guys like, I don't know what's going on. We got this 316 guy calling for the 500th time tonight. Who is this guy?
You're on watch lists.
What do you think, Rich?
I'm going First Love. Mm-hmm. And the reason I am is I mean, intellectually, I know that Honestly was a massive hit, probably second only to Faithfully as first dance songs at weddings.
Yeah.
You know, like the song you dedicate to your wife that you do your it was a massive, massive song. But the reason I love First Love is that it is like a heavy metal ballad that could have been on Diary of a Madman. Like it had Randy Rhoads style kind of classical guitar approach to it. It actually, to me, kind of has a little bit in common with like not stylistically. It's not like it's a derivative of, but it has that kind of You Can't Kill Rock and Roll vibe about it. And I really like that song. And Michael's vocal delivery is just unbelievable. I mean, it's haunting, you know, like it's whereas Honestly is a great love song. First Love, like I believe every word that's coming out of his mouth. It's like I think it's a perfect song for musicians and as people who love ballads. I mean, it ticks every box. I love it.
I'm going to go with First Love as well. There's something that you might not realize. First Love is 5 minutes and 43 seconds on that record. That's right. A long song.
And I'm glad you brought that up because let's get this. Those dudes can write some long songs.
Absolutely. And you don't realize it. There's 3 songs, five songs on soldiers that are 5 minutes or older. Over.
Can you hum the guitar solo?
Oh. Da 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 da
da da. I mean, come on, fellas.
First Love starts very slowly. And I remember, like, all of these rockers on Soldiers. It's Soldiers. It makes me want to sing. It's terrible. And then this really strange, like, it's like I said, it's the I don't want to say schmaltzy, but it's the other side of Stryper. And I never got into the song until I got live in Japan. And during that solo, Robert is doing tricks upon tricks. If you watch it, he's in the background as they do a solo, and he's, I think, probably just amusing himself. He's doing this thing and the
he puts spinning a stick behind his back.
Like, he's the visual timekeeper, which I know Rich loves. Yeah. But he was really visually timekeeping that song. And as I get older, I just, like you said, that's a perfect, it's a You Can't Kill Rock and Roll style ballad. And it's haunting. Honestly, is about the beginning of a love affair, or the good times. First Love is the end. There is no love like your first love, like it's gone. That's the way I always took it. Yeah. And to me, like I said, honestly, I like watching it live, but on the record, it's just too schmaltzy for me. I never got into Honestly. And I know it's a huge hit, but it just went past me for what I like about Stryper. So I'm taking First Love.
All right. Honestly, for me, it's like the first dance at a wedding. First Love. All I got to say is, I'm singing in my head, yeah, true love will never leave you. Ooh, wow, ooh, wow.
That note.
First Love,
tears
done.
The night,
done.
Called in vain.
Done. Yeah. Done. Every other song on the album, nothing compares. That is the best note on the album.
Wow, that's an amazing moment.
Note on the album.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's what I like. I like going back and listening to these records beforehand because I kind of forgot how great First Love is. And underrated, even amongst Stryper fans, they never play it live.
They should. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah, get on that, Michael,
that.
If you're listening.
We're
get on
come
that.
Come see you guys when you play, maybe even here.
Yeah.
Whatever, September,
I'll be here.
Yeah, Rich will be here. Yeah. We want to see First Love.
There's a good chance a meeting will happen. So.
And can I just kind of crack the door to that, and I should have probably prefaced it up front. I think it's probably part of Stryper's success, too, is that you believe that what every word that came out of Michael's mouth, he believed.
Yeah.
It wasn't a performance for him. He wasn't playing a character. This was like you felt this was real. He really connected with these lyrics and you really felt like this, like, in other words, like there have been other Christian rock bands who I felt like I was being performed for. Whereas I feel like Michael is a great representative of not just heavy metal, but for the faith. I mean, he really was able to marry those things.
Yeah. You felt it.
Being a great singer is being an actor, a performer, and the believability of it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Now it's The Way versus The Rock That Makes Me Roll. You want to start with that, Rich?
The Rock That Makes Me Roll, zero. I can't even consider any other options. That, like... Every time I see Stryper and they play it, I literally just want to go insane crazy. It's my second favorite Stryper song of all time. That opening riff, it is to discourage the haters. Like you said, really? You don't think they can play? You know, like you don't. Yeah, like
check this out.
It is, and because it's not just that it's technical, it's just a brilliant riff. It's something that any of the, if Eddie or Randy or any of the great guitar players of that era had written, you would have said, boom, boom, amazing. And it has everything, right? Great melodies, great lyrics. And how about that? Stand up and fight for what you believe in. Like, oh, yes. You know, the fact. Oh, and then it. How about rock and roll? Rock and roll. Oh, that high note. And then the breakdown. Fight. like, oh, like,
he's got the little,
I mean, it is a, like I said, I had to, the list of notes I took for that song, because like, I literally just acted, I could be a one man performance of just me telling how much I love the song. Yeah.
What is your, you said it's your second favorite. What's your favorite? Is it coming up?
Yes.
Save it. That, this is my favorite Striper song. Really? This is my go-to, like, what is Striper to me? Like Power Slave for Iron Maiden or Master Puppets for Metallica. Rock That Makes Me Roll is the quintessential Striper song. And when I mentioned, you know, the not really caring for honesty, this is the reason why, because this is the side that I love. That riff is angry. It's pissed off. It kicks your ass, and the drums coming in, great, great solo, and the end solo as well.
The harmony solo is crazy.
That's what I'm talking
off the
about.
Charts.
That's what I said this morning to Brent yeah. in Luftglass. It's like, I didn't say they're the best guitar duo. I said they play the best stud dual solos. That's a great example of it. That end solo Rock That Makes You Roll. Great singing. I love this song. And like I said, the way Oz wrote it.
Love that song. Great song.
Yeah. Great solo in it.
Killer.
You know, he did a great job. It's one of the rare appearances of an Oz Fox song on a Striper record.
Crazy scream at the end of the way, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Does live.
Yeah.
He nails that one. Oz's next song that he wrote didn't turn out as well.
Come to the Everlife.
But the way, great tune. It's a perfect side closer for To Hell with the Devil. But like I said, no other Striper song would beat the Rock That Makes Me Roll in this battle.
Yeah.
Howard?
Yeah. I mean, what else can I add to what you guys have said here? The Rock Makes Me Roll. That song is just fun. It's just all day fun. If you don't have to like Christian metal to love that song. It's just good.
And it's great opener too. I know that rock and roll is strong, but God's the rock that makes me roll. Don't need no drugs to help us push. No, we've got his power in our soul. Like that. Those are like, sometimes Michael's lyrics were, like I said, boys and girls, that lyric is powerful. Yeah. Well-written. I think I have a feeling what you're going to say, Richard.
What is that?
What's your choice?
I'm going with the Soldiers album on this one. Rock That Makes Me Roll. Yeah, I have to. I love the way, I love, you know, Oz's riffs that he wrote for that song are amazing. Michael screams, the drums are great, but the Rock That Makes Me Roll, that gallop, that double bass gallop, that's it. That kind of taught me that double bass, almost like the Four Horsemen by Metallica. That kind of, I love that triplet gallop that song has, and just the way the drums start out, boom, brum, boom, brum, yeah. It's just perfect.
One of Robert's most furious performances.
Yeah, sure. He's so brutal and heavy in that song. And like we said, if anybody ever lumps in Striper with Pretty Boy Floyd, say, okay, here's the Rock That Makes Me Roll. Tell me how you can put Striper in the same category as a lot of the so-called hair bands of the 80s. They were beyond that, and they were more of a power metal band a lot of the time.
Priest was one of their big influences. Yeah. That's a very Priest power metal riff. That's a Halloween
type
of riff.
Totally.
That triplet on the kick drum thing. There weren't a lot of bands doing that.
No. Yeah, that helped me learn double bass. So thank you, Robert.
Side two, Reach Out, written by Michael Sweet and Robert Sweet, versus the sing-along song. Richard, you want to take that one?
Sure. Now, this is a really tough one for me because years ago I had the honor of Michael calling me out from the crowd, Michael Sweet, saying, Richard, get up here and you want to do a song with us? And it caught me totally off guard. It was a friend of mine's birthday that day, so I was three sheets to the wind. But luckily, I've been playing, practicing to Striper songs on the drums since I was 13 years old. So I got to play sing-along song here in New York City with Striper.
That's great.
Which was incredible.
Did you know it? It's like no rehearsal, obviously.
No,
you
nothing. Just, I didn't know just, until you, literally Michael asked me in the crowd, hey, you want to come up and play
sing-along
song?
Michael's Richard's like the biggest Striper fan ever. He's got to know this one.
He just assumed I knew, and luckily I did.
That's amazing.
But that being said, I have to choose Reach Out. I mean, just the beginning. It's so melodic and catchy. The beginning with the vocals, the huge chorus right into the song. The dual guitar solos, like we talked about, is amazing, and it's a long song, which is great. Like, I get so frustrated sometimes when a song I love is too short. It's like, I want it to keep going, and Reach Out goes on for a while. So I have to choose Reach Out.
Yeah, that's another perfect example of a great guitar solo duo. That I even mentioned that one. It's the Rock to Mix one. I said Reach Out when Bro was like, I've been listening to Stryper longer than you. I was like, shut up, dude. Nick, just go away.
I'm glad you came along, because before you were there, I had to argue with these two guys about how great Judas Michael Priest. And Oz
Listen,
were.
We love Tipton and Downey, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
It's completely different thing. You know, they do trade-off solos. I agree. We're not talking trade-off solos. We're talking doubling a very hard, intricate, lots of picking solos. So I'm going to take Reach Out as well. Sing along song. I'm a guy who's very much, I judge the song by the song title before I even listen to it. And I go into it with a good attitude or a bad attitude, depending on the song title. I remember reading Sing Along Song. That one's going to suck. And then it doesn't suck. It's a cool song. It's fun. It's got a cool little thing. But to me, it was just like, I didn't like the title, even though I like the song now. But Reach Out to me is the winner in that one.
And sorry, I know I already have my turn, but I just thought of something before I forget. One thing I do love about Sing Along Song too is the cymbals are gated. And I always thought, wow, Robert is choking these cymbals. And so it taught that song, Sing Along Song, taught me how to choke a cymbal, which is where you hit a cymbal with a stick and then you grab it real quick. So it goes, yeah. And I never knew until about 10 years ago, I think I heard an interview with Michael where he said, no, they accidentally gated the cymbals, which is a recording term for when there's some kind of technique where the microphone cuts right off. And but hey, thanks to whoever the engineer was that gated you, Stephen Galfin. But I don't know if it was the producer or the engineer that did that. Well, but
Mitch LaFon's podcast right here on the Jericho Network, he just had Mike rate the Stryper albums. It's a really cool thing if you're a Stryper fan. He said he doesn't like listening to Hell with the Devil
because of the gates. Yeah, and I love the gates. Really? I love it because I didn't know what it was.
He rated it fairly low.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because I was listening to that and Michael said I would probably choose In God We Trust over To Hell with the Devil, which I love In God We Trust, and I saw him on that tour, but I have to go with To Hell with the Devil. Yeah.
Different, right?
I mean, he wrote it, but he's allowed to be wrong.
He is. Yeah. He's too close.
Yeah,
he's too close.
It's okay.
What do you think? Reach Out is when they were on this last tour, they came through, they did a fan poll to what was going to be a song they would add to the set list that would be different, and Reach Out won the poll, and they played it and I literally started crying.
Wow.
Because I love that song so much, because it's such a joyous song and it has all those great things, because it even has like the guitar solo changes halfway through it. Like it goes to that kind of halftime beat and it goes to that great little harmony bit. Like
it's long too.
It is an excellent song, and it is a song. It's a hopeful song. It's a fun rocker. It has all the elements that make a great Stryper song. It's got great riffing. It sounds great. I'm a huge fan of that song, so I have to go with it. I love Sing Along Song. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that Reach Out speaks to me.
Simple. Reach Out, because I've literally sang along to it more than Sing Along Song. Honestly, that's the truth. Yeah, that's the truth. I've sang along more to Reach Out. And I was like, huh, well, that's easy.
So Reach Out.
Yeah, like both songs, but Reach Out, I've sang more.
Reach Out was your sing along song.
Yeah.
Not sing along song. The irony.
Yeah.
Oh, the irony.
It's funny how it
works. You know what I love too about Reach Out? It sounded awesome on Second Coming when they redid it.
Oh, yeah.
That I love the version on Second Coming too, and that's hard for bands to do, to re-record their old song. It's just, it almost sounds like there's more kind of low harmonies on it, but it just sounds so good. And Stryper's one of those rare bands that I've heard where they re-record their old stuff and it sounds just as good and sometimes better.
Yeah, it is hard to pull
off. Here's a battle of album tracks: Holding On versus Waiting for a Love That's Real. Rich?
I love Holding On. Like, it's a great song. Like, I have to go with it. Mm-hmm. I actually think A Love That's Real is a very interesting song. That's like, it's a great song. But Holding On is like, again, it is very much like Reach Out in that it's like, it ticks all the boxes of what I want. Big harmonies. I wrote a bunch of notes about A Love That's Real because it's been a while since I
Heard it, yeah.
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 Yeah, it's one of those interesting things, you know, when you haven't heard something in a long time and you like,
what are wow. some of your notes on it?
Well, just like, you know, I wrote, listening to this song makes me want to be a better person. Like, you know, like,
that sounds like a poster you'd have up at your workplace.
I know, like, it, like, really, like, you know, because, you know, Michael was the poster boy for being a, like, a squeaky clean kind of guy. And even his voice matched that. You know what I mean? It was like, there was some innocence to it and some purity to it, especially on those early records and on Soldiers, where he really had that. There was more of that kind of sinus cavity thing that he was doing, and God, it was great. But and I even said the outro vocal vamp even has a bit of a Steve Perry little bit to it, his kind of melodic choice to it, which I thought was brilliant. And I actually wrote that this is another guitar solo that reminds me I need to practice more. Like, you know, again, that's the beautiful thing. I love that you've included me in this, is that it allows me to listen to these as albums. Sometimes, like, I get so caught up in my playlist I put together. Like, these are my favorite songs, but when I was a kid, I was just listening to albums. Like, I never skipped tracks. I just, this was a piece, and so it was great, but yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Howard?
Yeah. Gotta go with Holding On. And if anything, just because the harmony that comes in, I'm holding it, that the harmony that comes in, yeah, it's so odd, but it works.
Yes.
It's like nothing else would have fit that. And it's just, you try, even if you try and think of a harmony that it fits behind that, doesn't work.
A beat behind it, too. You wouldn't expect that beat.
Yeah, that's like a heavy, you know, downbeat behind it.
Richard? The song is just different. It just wins. Yeah.
I have to go Holding On. I mean, I cried when they played it on the 30th anniversary tour. From everything from the intro where Robert's hit. Robert had the best ride cymbal bell sound ever. And that dun, 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 bring, ding, ding. I love that. It's so tasteful and just so cool. And just the harmonies. And it's so happy and catchy. I freaking love it. And I love Waiting for a Love That's Real. I love the key. It's almost like a church organ intro, which yes. I freaking love. But I have to go. I have to go Holding On.
I am going to go with Holding On as well, solely because of you, to be honest with you. I always kind of just glossed over this track. And then when we had our Christian metal text and we were talking about going to the show, and you were just talking about Holding On, how excited you were to hear Holding On.
Because I don't think they had played it in like 30 years.
And I was like, I remember Holding On kind of thinking that's not bad, but then you listen to it and there's a great little I'm holding on, the little snare thing. It is a really cool, breezy, fun pop song.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a feel good.
But with heavy drums, like Rich was saying, the drums are heavy on it.
Waiting for Love That Real, it is an interesting tune because I think it's another one of those songs like First Love that you forget about it.
Yes.
And you listen to it and like, it's kind of dark again. It's almost like a Jamie's crying type thing. Like she's been used and she's waiting for a love that's real because maybe somebody took advantage of her.
Almost like First Love kind of.
Same vibe. Yeah. And it's also got a crazy scream. Come from a... Like that. Oh my God. It's so high. But like I said, it's more of it's a great album track, as Holding On is as well, but I'll give it to Holding On specifically because of the Richard Christie influence. And then seeing how much you loved it when they played it. Like I was watching you actually with Michael's daughter. Remember she was there?
Yeah.
And we were watching you, watching them, just like one of the happiest people in the world at that moment.
Yeah. Maybe pure joy. Your cheeks were shining. They were so wet. It was amazing.
Because I literally never thought I would get to see that song live. And to even talking about it now, I'm about to tear up. Like, to, you know, like when I was a kid, I always thought, oh, you know, I'm always going to love this music, but I better enjoy the bands now because I probably won't get to see them when I'm older. And I always thought forward to when I was, you know, 40s and 50s. And thinking, oh, you know, I probably won't, none of my bands will still be around that I like now. And they're still around.
Yeah.
Like Stryper, I got to see them play all of my favorite album of all time live when I was at the time, I think, 42 years old. And it just,
that's so heavy. You can't compare them to most other like hair metal bands and even a lot of the power metal bands. They're still around. They're still making quality music.
Yeah.
And that's almost unheard of. Mm-hmm.
I had the same experience you did on the on that tour, that kind of anniversary tour. I went with my pastor from my church and like a bunch of my friends and I that love Stryper, and the entire time my pastor was freaking out on how much fun I was having. I literally was dancing and singing every word. It was one of the best times I've ever had, mm-hmm. because I never thought I'd hear most of those songs.
Right.
And while Howard goes to the TT room, let me ask you this. I mean, this is a little note I put about Holding On. I think this was the first kind of breadcrumb Holding On was to what was to come in their future in God We Trust, where more synths, guitars were back in the mix a bit, vocals were way out front. And it was a little less dangerous. Holding On was. If you listen, I could see it in God We Trust. It's still an amazing song, but it was like you could see this as of all the songs, it was more of that transitional thing into what was going to happen.
It's mixed like a pop song, I think. Rockin' the World versus Together as One, the other ballad on Soldiers. I'll start with this one. I mean, Rockin' the World wins for me. Together as One is cool. But it's probably my least favorite song on Soldiers, and Rockin' the World is one of my favorite songs on Tell with the Devil. I just love the chorus, Rockin' the World, Holy One, Rockin' the World for your son. No, what's the chorus? Rockin' the world for you, Holy One, Rockin' the world for you
and your son.
Yeah. I mean, once again, I mean, the Christian lyrics are pretty standard at times, and that's one of them, but it's a fun song. I love the opening riff, and it's a cool album rocker that I really loved when we went and saw that show.
Yeah.
To me, that was one of the highlights. What do you think, Howard?
Gotta agree. That one, it's another one that's just fun. It gives you a good feeling. It's not particularly a standout, but it's not filler. It's just one of those, I'm glad they played this one.
Yeah. Put the windows down in your car and just drive around.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly.
Rich?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about rocking the World. I think this is where this song feels like it's on side two.
Yeah.
And only because the rest of the songs are so good. Not because it stinks. It's just that it's a great song amongst a bunch of classics.
Yeah.
And I for me, this is the first song I would say, oh, this is, if everything else was an A+, to me, this is kind of like a A- or a B+ song. Yeah. I really like it, but I'm still going to go with it because I prefer that. I think it's a great song. It's again, I always think this is funny that we're like judging two of the greatest albums of all time, giving our opinions on it. But that's what the purpose of this is for us to
classic album.
Yeah.
Clash.
But as it is, these are classic albums. Yeah. So it's, I feel a little weird going, Michael, like maybe there was another song could have been in that spot instead. It's a great song. I love it.
And I remember Together as One, they said, was used a lot at weddings. And that, once again, this is more of like, honestly, this is the relationship is going great. And at the time as a teenager, like you said, I had no girlfriend. I had no wife. And I was probably angry at the girls I liked didn't like me. So I was always much more into, you know, first love and You Can't Kill Rock and Roll. And like, you know, Love Sucks or whatever.
Love Stinks.
Love Stinks.
Jay Giles.
Yeah. What about you, Richard?
I love Together as One. I think it's an awesome ballad. No, I'm sorry.
Hold on.
I didn't mean to make you think that was what I was choosing. I'm just saying, a disclaimer, I don't want to, you know, put down Together as One because I love that song, but Rockin' the World, solely, I mean, even if I had to just narrow it down to one little thing, that intro is like so odd time, and I love it, and it made me, being a drummer, it made me a better drummer, that da-da-da-da-da-da, because if you listen to it, Robert's hi-hat goes from being on the downbeat to the upbeat. And it's, to this day, one of the oddest time signature pieces of music that I've heard. And I still have to ask Robert, like, what's going on there?
You wonder if there was something done on purpose or it was just one of those things, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah
because there's
accident.
Another, there's a couple things that I've always wanted to pick Robert's brain about. Like, from the second song on Yellow and Black Attack, From Wrong to Right.
Yeah, right.
There's a part where the drums miss a beat, and it almost sounds like, I don't know if Robert dropped a stick or if he did it on purpose, but either way, it's one of the coolest sounding things ever. And, you know, but it's the same way with Rockin' the World. There's that intro is just so cool and so, you know, odd time that it always stuck in my head. And I love that song. And just the heaviness of you want it, we got it. Like that real heavy.
Never let you down.
And that's. Yeah.
I was like, we are.
Just the heaviness of the. Those are where they use their harmonies to be real heavy. And that's what I love.
I like the song better now. You should work for them.
You sold
he has a habit of doing that. He pretty much does work for them. He's the biggest Striper fan and promoting them at constantly.
Hey, they've done so much for me. I'm glad to do whatever I can to let people know about them.
Salesman of the month.
And then the last two, we could try and reconfigure them a bit. But, I mean, should we do Surrender versus All of Me? Or should we do Surrender versus More of the Man and All of Me versus Battle Hymn of the Republic? Because if not, it's pretty obvious what we're going to do. So, okay, we're pulling a judgment call since it's my show. I'm going to flip-flop All of Me with More Than a Man, and we're going to do Surrender versus More Than a Man. Two album-closing rockers.
This is a tough one. Wow. Really tough one.
It really is.
Especially since when Striper did Surrender on Second Coming, they changed it and added a part that made an extra part of a part of that song that I love. I mean, you kind of got to go listen to it to know what I'm talking about. I'm babbling here, but they kind of made Surrender even better on Second Coming because there was a part that I always loved that I felt they should have done again, and then they did it again on Second Coming. But I have to go with More Than a Man just because, I mean, that intro, dun, 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 the drums sound like they're 50 inches across. You know, it sounds like he's using a 50-inch tom-tom and a 90-inch snare drum, and it's so heavy, and the riff and the guitar harmonies are wah, 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 wah. It's everything about More Than a Man is just perfect. So I have to go more than a man.
Okay, Rich?
Surrender is my favorite Striper song of all time. That opening scream.
Wow.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the opening vocal scream in Surrender is the greatest vocal moment in heavy metal.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. That's
amazing.
It's unbelievable because not only first of all, it's stratosphere note. It's got all of the aggro, the vibrato. He's working it. It's not just that wide thing that like guys of that era was like. It was freaking proper soul singer. Like I felt, oh my God, it's amazing. And also, I love that lyric, "In the dark, you need a light." Right? It's great. Mm-hmm. So freely surrender, open up to His Majesty. And also the opening lick of that guitar solo. I rip that off all the time. And Dimebag ripped it off too, because you've heard it on his records. Like, it is a perfect song. And my favorite moment, "To the King." That little moment of desperation. It's like,
that smidgen of angst.
I know.
Yeah.
You being a guitar player, you probably know what this is called in a guitar solo, but I love in the solo where they go, wah, 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 and it's like a thing with the whammy bar and a pinch harmonic, right?
Yeah, what he does is you flick the bar. So you actually take the end of the tremolo arm itself and you flick it. And with a Floyd Rose, it vibrates and it creates what's called a cricket. So it just...
I never knew what that was called.
Yeah.
I was,
and some guys
so I love
hit
that
the
part
body. Because you can either hit the body or you can flick the bar. And with the Floyd Rose, you have those springs in there and it just makes this cricket sound.
I love that.
Oz and Brad Gillis were the kings of that maneuver. Yeah.
Oz did that on Not That Kind of Guy and Against the Law. I was like...
Yeah.
This is the first for me. I actually changed my mind as we were talking. And
what?
I was going to go with More Than Man, but Surrender, dude. There's another great part in Surrender where it's, "In the dark you need light, then let him make it right. Oh, Jesus Christ is the lover of your soul." Dude, that song, once again, pretty underrated. I'm not sure if they play it live. anymore?
They played it a few years ago, and I literally wanted to go on a 7-state killing spree. I was so happy.
Killing, happy killings.
You know, like
at least you took a lucky number.
Yeah, just sex offenders. You know, just like you know.
I mean, More Than a Man. Gosh, it's such a great tune. I remember when I went to Michael Sweet's wedding, I was sitting next to Tim Gaines, and he said that was his favorite Stryper song of all time. Yeah, man. Once again, it's 6 1/2 dozen of another, but just this conversation, the scream at the beginning, the cricket solo, that Jesus Christ to the King. And then, yeah, dude, I'm going Surrender. I'm surprising myself. I thought it was a no-brainer, but I'm saying Surrender.
Nah.
Mr. Jones?
All right.
Mr. Jones? Well,
okay, then that makes me the odd man. Yeah, I'm More Than a Man.
Okay.
Whoa.
Oh, I chose More Than a Man.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you did.
It's a hung jury.
Okay. We're both
right.
Odd men.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, More Than a Man. Just
whoa, that's...
They're both great. There was one day... I remember there was one specific day I sat in a parking lot and just kept rewinding that last note on More Than a Man for about an hour. Just, I couldn't get over it.
Yeah, no, that part, that
scream. Yeah, just that scream was, whew, and it just stuck with me. So, yeah, that's
such a great chorus, too.
Yeah, it's a fantastic song.
I will follow you.
That'd be a fun song.
You died for me.
Yeah, that'd be a fun song to play in that band.
Gave to me
you know?
Mm-hmm. Life to set me free. Everyone who asks shall receive Jesus in your heart. It's time for you to start. Giving God all the glory.
Cue and solo. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said.
And he goes so high.
That's another one he can still do live, too. I've seen him do it lately.
I mean, there's just testicles in the lungs. He's so high.
Can I be honest and say Michael Sweet's probably one of the most underrated singers of all time when you're talking about great rock and roll heavy metal singers?
Yep.
He rarely gets mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But to this
and
day,
guitar player too. Guitar he's player an incredible well. Yeah. Guitar player.
Yeah, the fact that he's doing both and the fact that Oz is right there beside.
Yeah.
This Oz band, is a great singer too. Yeah.
This band has deserved so much more than they've
but they took a stand and then that's why they pissed some people off, and like we said earlier,
well, to our benefit.
Yeah. Then we got the last one, All of Me, which is the other ballad on Tale of the Devil, versus Battle Hymn of the Republic. I never liked All of Me. Once again, it was that other side of Stryper that I never really got into. Battle Hymn of the Republic, interesting idea, not sure why they did it. Michael sings the shit out of it, though. I think they even played it live in Japan. Maybe it was the opener.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Or was it the end?
No, I think they did it maybe pre-recorded as
that
an
intro.
That
was kind of the intro, right?
I think so, yeah.
So I'll go just for shits and giggles with Battle Hymn of the Republic, just because it's basically a Michael Sweet a cappella, wicked, you know, vocal piece. What do you think, Richard?
I have to go with All of Me. I love that song. And you know what? I became a bigger fan of that song after the video on In the Beginning. It's such a
together,
sweet
right?
Video, like, you know, no pun intended. they show all their pictures as, you know, when they were young, and then it goes through their whole history. I always tear up when I see that video on In the Beginning, so I love All of Me. And for me, I get really annoyed when I hear the John Legend song, All of Me. I'm like, that's not the real All of Me. You know, Stryper did that originally.
He's even more pissed off at the Steve Martin, Lily Tomlin movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's all... I'm all
Random.
In for All of Me.
Oh.
Rich?
I'm afraid that I am simpatico with my boy Chris on this. But I'm more passionate about Battle Hymn than you are.
Okay.
So for me, like... his performance is so good on take that. I mean, just the fact. But the thing is that I believe every word that he's saying on it, which
once
is
again,
his
yeah.
secret weapon, right? I mean, it's, and I was also thinking that he's singing about what is arguably the most important message the world has ever heard, right? I mean, and so for him to take this opportunity on his record to do this version was, again, ballsy, right? To take that. And All of Me was the second best of that ballad on that record, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think, honestly, is a better song. So if I had to choose between those two. And, Yeah, just it was a little great song, just a little too sugary sweet for me. Yeah, yeah.
I think though, All of Me complimented More Than a Man because it went All of Me went into More Than a Man and it made More Than a Man sound that much heavier.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Because All of Me wasn't heavy at all.
Which is why they always had the ballad like 4 out of 5, and then the 5 was the cleanup on all those albums. I love that. It was always
Striper was like Metallica. They always had great album closers. It was always like, you know, The Rain.
The Rain on Air, We know, Trust.
If you're talking about Surrender being the last rocker, More Than a Man, or Rock the Hell Out of You on Against the Law. They always were really good at that. How do you think, Howard?
I'm going to agree with Richard, just because All of Me, it just blends really well with More Than a Man. And also because my friend Jeremy Caldwell in Columbus, Ohio, he says it. Hold on. Let's go to the phone. Just because he said this to me today.
I believe
he said,
in you.
All right, there it is. He said, "Battle Hymn killed soldiers." So I got to go with All of Me just because he said that. He's wrong, but just because he said that. So Jeremy, boom, you got my vote. There you go.
So there you go. That's the classic. And now... which one do you like better, Richard? Do you have to choose?
I have to go with To Hell with the Devil. Yeah. I mean, that's the album that changed my life. That's the album I discovered Striper from. It's the album I literally listen to about every other day, I would say, sometimes 2 days in a row. Although I listen to Soldiers about, you know, once or twice a week as well. But To Hell with the Devil, it just flows so good, the whole album. We didn't talk about The Abyss, the intro, didn't we have a little argument about whether that's a song or not time?
I because the classic album Clash rule that both albums have to have the same amount of tracks, I just kind of spun over it and went to Hell with the Devil.
But so
I'm saying it's all one big piece of music.
Yeah, no, and I understand that, but I have to give a shout out to The Abyss. I love, it's such a cool intro with... And I always wanted it pictured in my mind when you hear that quack, 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 whatever those little seagulls are. But they, you know, I think
the kind of bird that's usually perched over this.
They're hell birds.
But it's seagulls from hell. So I want to know what was Michael picturing when they made that quack, 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 quack in The Abyss. Like, are they skeleton seagulls or what? They got to be evil looking. Or bat seagulls, a mixture. But so I got to go with To Hell with the Devil.
Rich, I know you wanted to make a statement about Michael Sweet. We're running out of time here, but if you can give us a quick encapsulation of which album you like best, and you wanted to say something about what you learned from Mike.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, it's for me, it's Soldiers. I actually think To Hell with the Devil is a better sounding record. I actually think it's a better played record. I think they were a better band at that point in time. But just if you're asking me what album would I prefer to listen to, I'd prefer to listen to Soldiers. There's so much about To Hell with the Devil that I love. It's almost like one way or the other. But I do want to say there was for me, I have so many Striper stories, and I know that we all do. But I want to tell you guys one Striper story that changed my life. And I wrote a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to keep it to this because I know we've gone long. I met the guys on the In God We Trust tour. I was the guy who waited out by the bus, which is why I always talk to people by the bus, because I was the dude. And I was with my girlfriend, and I waited until everyone else had gone. Like, it was a 2 a.m. bus call, and it was in January, and everyone just got too cold and left, and we were the only two left. And they, in the cold, stopped and talked to me, and I just randomly said, "Where are you guys going to be tomorrow night?" Like, just because I'm a kid, like, I don't know what to say. I'm so nervous, like, meeting my idol. They were like, "Oh, we're in Charlotte." I was like, "Are you sold out?" And he looked at his tour manager, "We sold out?" And he was like, I don't know. He looked at me, and Michael said, "Do you want tickets?" I was like, for Charlotte? And he's like, "Yeah, do you want to come?" So my girlfriend and I drove to Charlotte.
Wow.
And when we got there, we had tickets and passes. We ate dinner with them. Like right we on. Prayed with them, we hung with them, we stayed with them for literally 3 days. He kept saying, "Hey, we're in Greenville, South Carolina tomorrow. You want to go?" Yes. So we kept going, and then at the very end of the trek, he kept doing it to us. "You want to go to the next show?" Like, we're Grateful Dead. We're with them every
day. You
want
to come to Japan with us?
I know. Yeah. And the long story short was, I was like, I can't. I'm out of money. Like, I don't even know if I have enough money to drive my Honda Civic back to Atlanta. And he pulled out a $20 bill and he gave it to me. And he's like, one day I'll need it. Just give it back.
Wow.
I mean, literally, he doesn't know me. I was just a kid.
That's killer, man.
And I was like an 18-year-old kid. And I always remembered, like, he taught me, don't ever miss those opportunities to be kind to people and to remember that even though the four of us have had success and we see it so much that we just don't realize how much those moments could mean to someone, even though I never supposed that I've had as big an impact on someone's life as Michael did on mine. But if there was ever even the chance, it was the slightest bit of that thing, like, Chris will tell you, every night I go sit on the front of the stage and I wait till the whole place is empty.
Yeah.
And the only reason is just because, just in case, I can pay that Michael Sweet thing forward.
Mm-hmm.
What he did for me and that impact. And again, he could have just been, his records are enough. He didn't owe me anything. But he was just that guy who said, do you want to go to the show? Do you want to eat dinner with us? Like, he actually gave us one of their band hotel rooms one night.
Wow.
Like, he's the real deal.
Have you ever told him that?
I may have. I don't remember.
Did you ever give him his $20?
I tried to. Yeah. I tried to, but he was like in that thing backstage where there was a lot of stuff going on. Hey, man, you kind of loan me this money like thing. But I don't know if I, you know, when you're, you should, like, if you don't have a one-on-one with someone, if you're in a group environment, sometimes when dudes are talking, you don't have that intimate thing of like.
Well, he's probably, I'm sure he's listening now.
Just punch him, in the stomach, and then when he bends down and goes, oh, just throw it in his pocket.
Yeah. He's coming up, he's going to do a song with us in a couple days in Hampton Beach. He lives close to there. He's going to play Breaking the Law with us. So now it's come full circle. Now Michael's on stage playing a song with your band.
See, I thought I was doing pretty good when Robert Sweet waved at me one time on the Honey and God We Trust tour, but that's freaking awesome, Rich.
Yeah. Howard, your favorite?
I mean, my story's not as cool. You know, it's just during one song, you know, Michael's like, hey, there's a black kid here. No, that didn't really happen. That didn't happen at all. But just... it would have been great if it did. But that's an awesome story. And it just tells you he's genuine.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. Yeah. Both albums, great. Soldiers, the introduction, but To Hell with the Devil. That's... you know, Soldiers brought me to the dance, you know, To Hell with the Devil. It, it kept the bed warm for me. So,
yeah, man. I mean, I would probably say To Hell with the Devil because we saw that album in its entirety live, which made the difference. I do love the fact that Soldiers has longer songs. And at the time, I was always into longer songs. Even when we first started Fozzy, it's like longer the better. Then, of course, you realize that's not the case. But at the time, I loved just the extended solos going forth. But because I saw To Hell with the Devil live in its entirety, I'm going to take that, which I might not have said before. So,
and hint, I will say, hint, Michael, we'd love to see Soldiers live in full.
But I will say that my memory of cool memory is getting invited to Michael Sweet's wedding, and the DJ is playing "Living on a Prayer," and Michael's singing it as he's kind of dancing an octave higher. So you know that pause. Like, wow, he's going. Like, and I said, dude, I know what you're waiting to, but I hate you.
Just like, casually hitting that sort of note.
What was I doing? So you're singing an octave. I goes, well, I like to do that sometimes. I'm like, oh.
Of course he's hitting that note. And since, you know, Robert thought you were John Bon Jovi.
We went to the Aspen Park, and Sweet Robert came over to me and goes, I thought you were Bon Jovi, man. I thought Bon Jovi came in. I thought you were Bon Jovi. For like an hour. I thought you were Bon Jovi. I'm not Bon Jovi. I've met you 15 times, but guys, what a great time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And, this is awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right.
And thank you, Striper.
Yes. Thanks, Striper. All right. If you don't agree with the albums and songs we picked in this Striper Classic Album Clash, you can weigh in on the Twitter. Hit me up at Talk is Jericho. Let me know how you would vote. Is it Soldiers Under Command or To Hell with the Devil? Hit us up and let's see how you feel about this amazing debate. Thanks to Rich, Howard, and Richard for a great discussion about one of our favorite bands of all time. They're currently on tour. It's called the Striper History Tour. They're doing all their classics and some really cool covers from their influences as well. And come see Fozzy as we're on tour playing Incarceration July 12th in Mansfield, Ohio next month. And, of course, the Unleashed in the West Tour. Don't forget the two gigs with Nickelback as well in August. I think it's August 23rd and 25th up in upstate New York. We're doing one in Uncasville at the Mohegan Sun and then one in Atlantic City.
All tickets and VIP information at FozzyRock.com. All the gigs listed. September 5th, we start in Denver. September 28th, we end in Atlanta. And there's probably about 20 gigs in between. Don't forget, of course, the famous big one, September 14th in Los Angeles at the Bank of California Stadium, opening for Iron Maiden. So go check that out. Also, go to ChrisJerichoCruise.com. We're over 88% sold out of one of the greatest vacations of your life. Go check it out there. It's been a long show. We'll get into all the details of both the Unleashed in the West tour on Friday, as well as all the lineup and roster talent for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Don't you worry about it, though. All you got to do is come back on Friday to hear all that. And you're also going to hear SCU, Southern California Uncensored, Frankie Kazarian, Chris Daniels, and Scorpio Sky are going to be here. It's the worst podcast they've ever been in. So we're going to have a great time talking with the boys about the formation of SCU, reinvigorating their career, and, of course, signing with AEW. So in the meantime and in between time, we'll see you on Friday. Be cool, stay hard, stay safe, stay hungry. Big peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy!
Oh, yeah! We are the soldiers under God's command!